was the day after Christmas, and all through the house, we're off to the cricket! Ho, ho, ho! Grouse, the Killing Champions, Boxing Day Test, special broadcast, Jeffy! Pat up, your next drop! How's that?
Not out. Happy Christmas, Unc, and happy Christmas to you wherever you are, right round Australia. And as Simon Marnie said, yes, the Boxing Day Test gets underway here at the MCG. I'm Jeff Richardson. Good morning to you. Good morning to Greg Champion.
Good morning back. Hello around the nation.
Ian Cover, good morning to you.
Good morning, Richo. Good morning, Australia.
And Billy Baxter.
Good morning, Jeff and listeners. It seems like only a year since we were here.
Yeah, well, pat up your next drop. You're with the Kudamine Champions on the annual ABC pre-Boxing Day show here. If you're in Melbourne and you're coming to the test, or you're just coming down to the MCG environments to soak up the atmos, come by and give us a wave. We're right behind the Dennis Lilly statue.
I've got to say that the conditions here haven't changed greatly since grand final day.
There's one important difference. Yeah. And I'm going to talk to the secretary of the MCC about this. See that little mosaic thing over there? The listeners can't see this, but just there's a little mosaic that says the Walk of Champions, and it's got an arrow pointing in one direction, and that's where the Don is, and Pony, and arrow pointing in the other direction. That's where Shirley Strickland is. There's an extra one now, the Warnie statue. I came past it on my way down.
Does it look like Shane?
It's wearing cricket clothes.
I've had a suggestion put to me that in the visage area.
Yes. Say that again.
In the visage area, it looks like Bob Hawke.
Well, he could play cricket.
He could.
Yeah. Hawke didn't mind padding up.
Well, he got filled in, didn't he, when he was wearing the glasses?
Very much so.
But I haven't seen the Warnie. I'll have to go and have a look.
I came past, and then I was walking over the little mosaic that directs you to it, and I thought, well, they're going to have to rip that whole thing up and do it again and add Warnie's name.
But is Warnie in line with the existing statues? Because I think one's called the Avenue of... What's that called?
Champion.
Something Parade like of Champions.
He is, as far as I can see.
Because the new one is called the Avenue of Legends. It's a bit of a difference. They're in the same lineup.
Can you compare a champion with a legend?
I don't know, Greg.
I didn't have my compass in my hand as I was walking, but it wasn't long after I'd walked past Shirley Strickland that I came to Warnie, and then shortly afterwards there's Tom Wills inventing football before my eyes.
I'm putting it on my agenda today to go around and have a look at the Warnie and see whether it does look like Bob
Hawke. He's leaning a long way forward. He's sort of in the...
He's finished the delivery?
Well, that's a bit hard to tell.
Just around that side of the ground, listeners and Kudamines, you can see members making their way through the gates just now. The gates have been opened.
As I just came past, they were scoring up behind the barrier. They had them in a pretty good line, too. There was just a couple to go in. They have jumped. And have they gone quickly down the straight six here?
Well, it's very orderly this morning because, as we've heard, there are no pre-sales of guest passes into the members. It's all been pre-sold.
I saw a sign inside that said all long room and balcony passes are gone for the first 3 days. Wow. So the members are responding.
But for the general public, completely different story. You can just walk up and buy a ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're starting to feel at home now because the first ground announcements have taken place. And you can bet that barcodes will be up.
Just at the minute, the ground announcer could probably put the microphone aside and go and individually advise each person as they walk up, because it's not as though we're being swamped at the minute.
It's orderly.
And it's 2.5 hours from the first delivery today.
That's right.
And there is one big difference to grand final day, even though the weather looks very similar, Cove.
Yeah.
And that is the day before grand final day, we weren't smashed by the most amazing weather in perhaps 10 years.
Absolutely.
And on the way to the ground today, signs of carnage.
Did you see some damage?
Oh, yes. Trees down.
Oh, there's a flood here at the MCG.
That's right.
Was there?
Round the gate four?
Yeah, you have to walk over duck boards to get in.
Wow. Well, I crossed the Yarra River here, parked at the ABC and walked here.
Yeah.
Didn't see a soul, but as I crossed the river, so much flotsam and jetsam, you wouldn't believe.
Yep. Well, you were.
Animal carcasses.
I saw a couple of cows.
One day I was at a football match at Carlton, and you actually were playing the role of flotsam and
animal carcass.
Just a part of my skill set, Ian.
It sounds like a Shakespeare play, doesn't it? And Baxter took the roles of Flotsam and
Jetsam. Is that true, Greg? Was it the most, for listeners who were in Melbourne and endured the hailstorm, is it the worst weather in history?
Well,
For Christmas Day?
I can remember an event where we had 2 inches in 10 minutes, yeah. And this, I'm thinking, was 3 or 4 inches.
This report is apparently official.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Well, out your way, it is official that Greensboro,
we were smashed.
Had 98 mils.
There you go. See,
that's 4 inches.
How's my tip?
All right, while we're talking,
I was 2 mils off.
Yeah. Well,
in fact, hang on. There's been an update. It was 99.94 mils.
In terms of official weather, the hailstone sizes.
They've moved on.
A new category was introduced yesterday.
That is correct.
The golf ball scale has gone.
It's been blown away.
I had upgraded to lemon.
That's
lemon,
right.
Lemon size. Lemon now, size. That is 2020.
I heard
that is
2020 ball.
Hailstones.
I can tell you, gentlemen, that we had a knock on the door by a neighbour yesterday afternoon saying, are we advised you move your cars undercover? We've had friends' cars smashed by hailstones and ridden off.
Right now.
So we went undercover to the Safeway, to the supermarket car park.
For our
free time.
Around Australia, who are enjoying our broadcast here from the Boxing Day test, Melbourne had some...
Phenomenal
weather, but not in pockets. The cell was quite small that moved across
was
Melbourne.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, we were in the firing line.
Bill, I think they might, when we check with the Bureau, we might have Scott Williams there shortly. I think they might call it highly localised. But apart from that, though, don't take our word for it, or Greg Champion's, who had an eyewitness account. 1-300-222-774. 1-300-222-774. You might be able to provide an eyewitness account of what you saw, and did it force an early cancellation to your backyard cricket?
I'm sure there was something highly localised, as you say, around Greg's supermarket and house, compared to the top end of Australia. If you're up there and listening, we'd love to hear from you on 1-300-222-774.
And if listeners could think before they call and just reference the hailstones in terms of citrus fruit, if you'd be so kind.
Well, also, if we've got anyone listening on the Sunshine Coast too, where beaches have been closed.
Oh, have they?
Gold Coast. Really? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And Christmas was suddenly transformed from a domestic affair into an impromptu gathering at the supermarket car park, where a whole new several dozen cars came in and started Christmas again with strangers.
Are you sure those people weren't going to the supermarket to see Santa?
I'm sure there's a logic to this.
To the local supermarket.
Everyone's sitting around at your house, and for some reason, it's no longer suitable. I know. We'll go to the supermarket.
It's cover. It's undercover, Richard.
That number is 1-300-222-774 for your eyewitness account. Not only in Melbourne, but maybe the Gold Coast or Darwin, where they've just avoided
anywhere around the top.
That's right.
And just
Jabiru, Maningrida, if you're listening.
But particularly how it affected your backyard cricket, and at the moment. Well, lemons are the clubhouse leader for size of hailstones.
The hailstones we saw could have been bowled in backyard cricket.
Is that right?
It was something to see.
Yeah.
But of course, on the hailstone-o-meter,
yes.
A hailstone that is slightly smaller than a marble is officially golf ball size.
That's right.
So something or anything bigger than that is now officially... the size of a lemon.
Talking of the Gold Coast, I did see a bit on ABC News last night on the television.
Yep,
where there were people surfing, and the beaches were all closed because some eyewitness on the beach described the waves as being the height of a three-story building. That's the thing. And then next thing, I don't know whether the cameraman or the reporter knew, and we only just got a grab, or whether they were oblivious to a bloke leaning over the balcony of his apartment block saying, they're all mad, they shouldn't be in there.
Yes.
Laurie Lawrence.
Was he on the third story?
Laurie. He's a commentator on surfing conditions now.
But I thought Laurie would have been saying they should, more of them should be out there.
Yes.
Get the kids in when they're young. He was unidentified. It was just this bloke yelling out from his balcony.
It was him.
Yeah, it was the great Laurie Lawrence.
As for localised hail in my area, we can only hope that Montmorency Pie fans got hit.
I think we have Lauren in Watsonia.
Oh, here we go.
Wantirna. In the suburb of Melbourne. Hi, Lauren.
Hello, how are you?
Good, Lauren. What happened to you yesterday?
I was actually in Queensborough/Watsonia yesterday for a family reunion.
Yes.
We were all outside enjoying the sunshine.
Yeah.
And then the skies opened, and there were hailstone size.
Just repeat that size again for us.
Ping pong size.
Ping pong size.
There you
go. Now that's moderation. That's somewhere between golf ball and lemon.
Yes, it is.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
On the scale.
Now, when you were there in Montmorency, you didn't go to the supermarket.
We did after the first storm.
Yes.
We did hide our cars in the Safeway car park.
There you go.
So that's the thing to do in the outer northeast.
Did you see? I saw some footage again on the television last night of car windscreens and back windows with holes.
My uncle's brand new Volkswagen got a few dents in it, and I got a few in mine.
Oh, there were holes in the windscreens that looked like they'd been shot up, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny, you know, Lauren, where I live, it's not exactly a lower socio-economic area, but I found that most of my neighbours were taking their cars out of the carport and parking them in the streets.
Oh, were they?
They might take advantage of their insurance premiums.
That's hardly the spirit.
You're listening to the Could Have Been Champions on Boxing Day on ABC Local Radio. We're live here at the MCG in the preparation for the day one of the test.
Wherever you are,
right round Australia, we'd love to hear from you.
Is Lauren still there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Lauren, what'd you get for Christmas?
I got some gift vouchers, some chocolate, not much.
I hope the gift vouchers were for the ABC shop.
Well, they're for everywhere, so I might just have to go and find an ABC shop.
Good.
Go and get a copy of Greg's new Christmas album.
You can play it next Christmas.
Well, please.
And do you have an interest in the test match today, Lauren?
I am. I will be listening to it while I'm driving around shopping.
Good. Are you worried by the fact that Australia doesn't seem to have an all-rounder?
Not really. I think we can pull it off, though.
Good on you, Lauren.
Well, have a great day driving around shopping. And remember, if it starts to rain, go into the supermarket car park.
And remember, also that cricket's on the radio.
Yes, I'll be listening.
Good. Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren. If you want to speak to us, as Lauren just did, 1-300-222-774 is the number. I'd love to hear from someone up on the Gold Coast or someone up at the top end.
Exactly, yeah.
See whether they went to the supermarket car park.
Well, they seem to. There's a lot of people standing on the beach watching the big waves at the Gold Coast.
And Laurie Lawrence was calling them in.
It was fantastic. Indeed, if you're making your way to the MCG, I've driven from the provinces to be joining you this morning, and down my way, it was overcast, but there'd been no sign of rain. I noticed the road was wet in patches here as I approached the G.
Wet? Yeah. There was still wash away.
From last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you are... There were sandbags in my street. If you've already got your tickets to the cricket today and you're on your way and you get your tickets mean going in through gate 4, just be aware there is a little bit of minor flooding there.
Here?
Yes, so... Get the galoshes out.
Have they cleaned up those rooms since the flood during the Collingwood St Kilda Grand Final?
I don't know, but I tell you what, I was round at the gate down underneath the practice wickets before. Yeah. You know, the beautiful new practice wicket area.
It's gorgeous.
It's like a swimming pool.
Isn't it? Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm going to... Hopefully they will get some practice in the nets and we'll do our famed coverage of the nets.
They were taking the covers off as I walked
by. I managed to sledge a couple of the poms last year, which did us a great lot of good, didn't it, when we were knocked over for 98 in the first inning.
Oh, you just fired them up.
I did. Mark's in Fairfield. Good morning, Mark.
He actually drove back from Beaumaris yesterday, didn't it?
You drove from Beaumaris to Fairfield through the hail?
Absolutely, and the rain and the fog lightning and everything, yes.
Was it scary, Mark?
Absolutely scary. When I actually got home last night, there was a crack of thunder, and my poor parrot just nearly had a fit.
Yeah. Oh, the parrot.
The parrot. What's your parrot's name, Mark?
Twiglet.
Twiglet.
Well, of course it is.
Now, Mark, during that drive, it's a long way from Beaumaris all the way to Fairfield, what was the biggest hailstone you saw?
I couldn't count them. I just lost track of them. They were so big.
As big as a lemon?
Probably, and I saw fork lightning and sheet lightning and everything else.
Oh, spectacular.
The lightning, even Christmas Eve, the lightning in parts was so bright. I don't think I'd seen lightning so bright.
Now, Mark, what are you doing today?
Having a nice day off for a game. Let's look at my presents and gifts and things and go back to Mum's place in Kew. Just have a relaxing day, I think.
Yeah. Oh, very right.
It sounds to me very much, Mark, that you might have been here enjoying the cricket last year at this time.
Could have been, yes, yes. We did go to a cricket match once. When my grandfather came over from England, we went to the MCG on a 40-degree heat. and he was dressed in a suit and tie, and the bloke in front picked up an Asky and dumped it on the bloke in front of him.
That wouldn't happen. It wouldn't have been the members.
I don't think that'll be happening today, Mark.
No.
Good day, Mark. Enjoy your day.
Yeah,
good
thank you very much. Happy Christmas.
Well, you won't see an Esky for a start. That's one thing at the G.
You're
just before we go to the CEO, sorry, the secretary.
Yeah.
It's the secretary, I think, when the cricket's on, CEO when the footy's on. Scott Williams is in position at the Bureau, is that correct?
Yes.
I am. I've made it.
Good on you, Scott.
Now, Scott, can you confirm, is there a new scale now for hailstone sizes, with hailstones as big as lemons, as was reported?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that before. Most people say
we.
Tennis falls and cricket falls.
Yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, well, I hunkered under a bridge at Kilmore coming back last night, and there was about 20-cent piece, 2 to 3 centimetre hail bouncing all around the place, and a couple of drivers probably angry that I had the prime spot under the bridge.
Scott, goodness for forecasting that you survived.
Scott, you would have been in an excellent position to estimate how much rain was falling before your eyes.
Well, they don't estimate.
And yeah, I think it was around about 2 millimetres per minute, but it only lasted about 10 minutes there. But when I got back to my place, which is on the northeast outskirts, it's put it this way: the local garden supply place. I got 2 acres there. He's going to get a lot of work out of me in the next fortnight. It's just a mess, and there was a river through the front yard.
Oh, yeah.
73 millimetres of rain. I'm at Yarrambat, so that's 73 mil. There's a lot of trees and debris everywhere. It's a real mess.
Scott, is that right that area you're in Yarrambat? Greg was forced to take shelter in a supermarket car park out at Montmorency. Is that sort of northeast area was the hardest hit?
It seemed to be the absolute hardest hit by the hail and the heavy rain. It seems though the area around the airport might have got worse winds and possible tornadoes out around Keilor and Melbourne Airport. The Tulla Freeway, of course, had those trees across it, so there's a potential. I have heard, and this isn't confirmed, but some baggage trolleys have been found a kilometre away at Melbourne Airport.
That happens most days.
That's probably not little brats taking them away, I don't think.
We were listening, of course, in the lead up to our broadcast here this morning to Simon Marnie at the Cruising Yacht Club in Sydney, and reports of a number of crew and their supplies haven't been able to get out of Melbourne to get up to the start of the Sydney Harbour. But do we know if the airport's reopened?
Well, there's no problem out there right at the moment. Right. I think it you'd have to talk to them. But at the moment, the cloud base is 1,000 feet, well above what they can get in and out at. It was down to 200 or 300 feet overnight in the wake of the storms. I think the actual thunderstorm closure went to about 11 p.m. So I would be hopeful they'd be able to very, very quickly get out of there. This morning with whatever supplies. I could always take them to Eden and fly through another line of thunderstorm this afternoon on the way there.
That's encouraging for them. Hey, Simon, Scott, I'm a bit like Billy. We live out of town and we could see the sort of dark clouds at a distance. They didn't reach us, but I went and fired up the Bureau website and went on the radar. And normally you put the radar on and you get little patches of light blue or whatever. And there were the areas were not very big at all, but they were dark red and black in some spots, which is top of the range.
That's right. That's about 100 millimetre an hour, 2 millimetre a minute rain rates or large hail. Mm. But did anyone see that one just after 5 o'clock, which was a neat little spiral west of Blackest Marsh? It was. I said to my father-in-law at the time, I was in Shepparton then, this is a tornado, I'm sure of it. I've never seen one on planned positions, a two-dimensional thing that the public gets. It was just incredible. Frightening, really, because you knew it was heading right for Melbourne. But that one broke up before it got to the suburbs, thank God.
Will you have got someone down at the office yesterday to have downloaded a print of that and put it up on the wall for, you know...
We've got somebody doing that this morning. So, again, it's like the ABC, the Bureau staff are scattered widely on Christmas Day, and we have it's core staff here, but to get people back to help takes a bit of time, and that's been the issue, I guess, with the ABC and the SES and all emergency services, that people can be on call, but sometimes a struggle to get back if roads are flooded and your own place is a mess. Right. So, but nonetheless, we're set now and we're in for a good week ahead. We've got We've got, for the first time that I've seen in a long while, what looks like 7 days of near fine weather ahead of us.
Oh, gee.
So,
hang on, this is for Melbourne. For the rest of the country listening, they won't believe this.
This is for Melbourne. That's right.
Well, Scott, what can we expect today for the Boxing Day test?
I think this morning the main issue is the lowish cloud and the light, but the rain's pretty much gone. There might be a few spots of drizzle around between now and about 11 o'clock, and expecting it to brighten up a bit this afternoon and be fine. So I guess that means there could be some small delay at the start, depending on the light and if there's still a bit of drizzle. But it looks this afternoon so it'll be fine, and 23 and a cool southerly breeze. And tomorrow will be sort of similar. There'll be a little bit of light shower activity around at the start, but it'll clear up very quickly, a top of 22. And then fine for the rest of the test, getting up to 30 on the last day, if in fact it can go that long. Wow. But certainly it looks like a pretty good week ahead after the mayhem of last night.
Well, what about the humidity on that last day? Is it going to help a ball swing?
It's going to come up a little bit, but not as humid as we've had in the last day or two. So the next 2 days, the humidity will be right down. It'll really drop out with southerly winds. It'll pick up only a little bit on the, as I said, on the last day. It might come with some assistance, but usually it's a sort of we look for spin on that last day, don't we, and the wicket starts to break up. Hopefully not like it did in the 80s.
All right, Scott, you stick to weather forecast.
Yeah. I will.
Scott, thanks for that. Just before we let you go, the latest from Darwin?
Well, that's talking about Grant crossing the coast quite a long way to the east of Darwin, and Darwin's not actually in the cyclone warning area now, so that's good news. It's about 200-odd k's east.
And, oh, so right over near Owen Pelly or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it's not going to be travelling Darwin, which is really good news.
And Scott, thank you so much.
Good on you, Scott.
Okay.
Good
Scott
luck with
Williams
the
there.
Good luck
the
with preparing
Bureau.
The garden, too.
Oh, yes. And sheltering under a bridge at Kyneton. He's done everything.
For South Australian listeners, that cyclone is, of course, Cyclone Grant.
Right. and there's a chance of missing Darwin.
Yeah. It is Boxing Day. We're outside the MCG. We are the Could Have Been Champions. And we are joined whenever we're at the MCG by a man who comes in to check on our dress code, firstly. He's having a good look. The CEO, or as we say, the role formerly known as the Secretary of the MCC, Stephen Goff. Season's greetings.
Yes, to you too, Coase and Good Have Beens.
Goffy,
Stephen, lovely to see you.
Now, Goffy, we've heard a disturbing report over the last week or so. Of course, none of us are members of the cricket club, but lots of members listen to the show, and apparently an e-note went out to members prior to the Big Bash game indicating that dress standards would be relaxed in keeping with the tone of the Big Bash. Now, is that correct?
That is correct, yes. Massive step, this new form of cricket. So we've got a change in the dress code.
How relaxed are we, Steve?
When we say relaxed...
Well, let's say that the dining room, you didn't need a coat and tie.
Even more disturbing, Goffy, was the report that bistro-style meals were being served in the members' dining room.
Is that true?
Yeah, in keeping with the Big Bash, yes.
What is a bistro-style meal?
How far does a meal have to move in the direction of a pie and chips before it's officially declared bistro-style?
We might have to have you broadcast from the next Big Bash within the room.
We'd love to. Because
we're bistro-style ourselves.
So when we were there, if we'd happened to go along and we were in the relaxed environment of the members' dining room with no jacket, no tie, and God knows what else.
And I'm not sure you'd get in that way, Charles.
What would we have been eating, bistro style?
Good question. I don't know. I didn't attend the match, so I can't really tell you what it
we
was.
We need to talk to someone.
You need to talk to
catering.
There was a big tub of coleslaw.
Well, given the sponsor, they weren't handing out buckets of chicken wings, were they?
I don't think we'd do that.
No. Was a smorgo in order?
Yeah. Well, look, they don't go that far.
Let's just say, Goffy, that quite a few of our listeners who were unable to be in Melbourne, but of course keep their memberships up, people from as far as Hong Kong, wrote to us quite disturbed.
Well, actually, it would suit the Hong Kong members, I would have thought. Yeah.
They like to take the jacket and tie off.
They do, very much.
To more recent matters, did you have to abandon Christmas lunch and come down here and batten down the covers when the storm hit?
No. In fact, I spoke to Cameron, the curator, this morning, and we had about 35 mil here, and pretty good. It's drained well, no water under the covers.
In the old days, we wouldn't have been... You'd still have the Super Sopper on, wouldn't you?
Correct. I don't think you'd even had the Super Sopper out.
Yeah.
Really?
So it's looking good. I mean, I think, as your weatherman said, it's the light is probably the biggest issue.
Have you ever thought about actually going into the gardening caper and selling the MCG plans for drainage? Because it works brilliantly.
Well, as you know, the Commonwealth Games is a great leverage for us in terms of redoing the surface.
Yeah.
And the drainage, so it's exceptional, no doubt.
Around at gate 4, the concourse is under a bit of water. It's just a drainage glitch in the park, is it there?
We didn't get out as far as gate 4.
No, they wouldn't get to gate 4.
Yeah, dress standards are always relaxed at gate 4.
Yeah.
Not a priority.
Not as high.
Do you know what? What they got there is bistro style drainage.
Oh, and what about today? Are you anticipating a crowd in the area of 80, 90?
Oh, less? Really? Look, ticket sales were very strong, much stronger than last time India were here, so we'd say 70 to 75, depending a little bit on weather, no doubt.
It's interesting because didn't the early indications for that Big Bash night think you were going to get 50 or 60,000 end up being 23?
Yeah, well, there was no ticket sales to speak of. It's a walk-up crowd. I think it was just the anticipation of the first one here. I think it'd do better in January. December's not the ideal scheduling time.
But well, you've set me straight there, Stephen, because the pundits, they were going with 56. Now, I thought they were doing that based on some sort of pre-sale, but they weren't pre-sale. Well, where did they get that so wrong?
Sure. Big Bash is a walk-up crowd, so you know it's like, as Jeff knows, when the Tigers are going well, you get a big walk-up crowd. So we think it'll evolve.
But you can walk up today, can't you?
You can.
Except at gate 2, I wouldn't.
Gate 2, you always walk up.
we're still in a bit of shock here. Now that we've
It'd be jacket and tie today.
Relaxed dress standards, bistro style meals. Yeah. Where's it going to end?
Yeah. It's the fat end of the wedge.
Don't confuse the two forms of the game, Jeffrey.
Anything special today? Like someone from the opera is singing the national anthem, I read.
I'm not sure who's. I think it is, but I'm not sure. That's Cricket Australia run that. So
do they?
I'm not as close to that as I should be.
And no doubt we've got lots of important people from India connected with their cricket control board and all that sort of thing.
I think there's a large delegation from the Indian... Board of Control, yes, and associated people from cricket in Australia, throughout Australia. So it'll be a big day, particularly first day.
And this is just a little bit of housekeeping. It intrigued me as I was coming across the bridge from the ABC. The flags were on display, the Australian flag, the Indian flag. It looked like Cricket Australia and India Border Control. Is there a cupboard or a room where all the flags are folded as per and they're alphabetically aligned for when we play international cricket games here? Or have you got them in your bottom drawer? What's the deal there, Stephen?
I think we ought to do a second live broadcast from the flag room to get you up to speed with that. Yes.
Special flag room.
There is a room there. The facilities guys run all the flags and fingers crossed they've got the right ones up at the right ends, facing the right way. But... No, there's a lot of flags.
Okay, of course, we haven't seen you since grand final day, and it was 99,000 and something, wasn't it?
It was, just a fraction under.
Couldn't get it to 100? Can't you make it up?
Well, Goffey's comment on the day was, the girls in the basement decide that figure.
That's right, and there's no amount of relaxation of any codes is going to change that.
It all went well grand final day?
Well, I think so. The winning team were very happy, and... most of us were, I think, on that result.
You managed to get everyone into the reserve?
We did. Yes, very full reserve, in fact.
Yeah. So how many were here on grand final day in the reserve?
21,000.
And Boxing Day usually rivals that, doesn't it?
It'll be. I would think it'll be 20 20.5 today. Visitor ticket sold out early. There's a good walk-up. Reserve seats have gone quickly. So all the indications are it should be.
So that's the members. But people who are just at home now making up their minds, they'll be able to get in today.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's still public tickets available.
And of course, the other thing we needed to clarify, Richo was pointing out that you've got this mosaic in the concrete that points out where all the statues are.
Yes.
Does that have to be redone now because of the unveiling of the Shane Warne statue?
No, there'll be a new one. The Avenue of Legends runs up to Jollymont Station, so Shane Warne at this end, Norm Smith will be done grand final week at the other end, and then we'll fill up down the path.
So it's the Parade of Champions around the ground.
And it's the Australia Post Avenue of Legends. Am I allowed to say that on ABC?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, well, okay. you
so the government still own it?
The Postman's Avenue of Legends.
The GPO. So and Warney is the first.
Sorry, Jeff.
In the avenue.
Warney is the first. Norm Smith will be the second.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Louis Loman did the Louis Shane Warne, who did the other 10.
Now, do we have to give Louis individual photos of ourselves or a group photo for him to strike the next?
Yeah, you saw Warney's comments. You've got to go to the studio. He's got to measure the dimensions, ears to nose and all those things before he puts it into clay.
I've got to say, there's been a couple of Saturdays when we've sat here and we've felt like statues. During the winter, we have been frozen. But that's a fantastic
Coffee, what do you know about the Norm Smith statue? Which iconic Norm Pose. Image is it going to be?
Well, that's interesting because there's a selection committee, including the sculptor, who'll sit and have a look at all the photos and select one. But it's a good question. Should it be the coach in the...
In the overcoat.
In the overcoat.
Goffey, one concern is we've been talking here this morning. We haven't had enough ground announcements about people coming into the ground. What's going on?
I don't know what's happened. Normally that's part of the running show when you're on.
We had the ground announcements early, and now that everyone's into
the gates.
They're into the pavilion. Yeah. The public gates haven't opened yet, so there's plenty of time for that.
Well, people would have to be confused about which way to hold their barcodes, and we'll just share with you that barcodes are up.
While we are talking to Stephen Goff, the CEO of the MCC, we should say the other thing that's been happening out in the park, and this might be used to listeners right around Australia, we talked about all the rain there was in Melbourne last night and 35 mils here. You're building a facility to capture this, aren't you?
Yes. Well, in fact, there's probably a lot of water in there that's got to be pumped out after last night.
Yes.
We're about halfway through. It should be ready about June next year and fully covered, so you won't see anything.
And how much water will that hold?
It's not so much a tank, it's a pumping solution that will allow us to have water every day so we can do all of Yarra Park, whether it's wet or dry, in a year. Punt Road Oval, we've got enough water for them there, and it'll do internal usage in the MCG, so it'll probably save MCG about 50 megalitres a year.
And so there'll be a pro rata reduction in members' subscriptions?
Don't confuse the two issues.
Different forms of the game.
Actually, Goffey, the facility is called Gate 4 Concourse.
I'll look into Gate 4 Concourse for you.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great day, as usual. We're all looking forward to it, as I'm sure you are, Stephen. Thanks so much for coming down and talking to us.
Thanks, boys.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Stephen.
Stephen Goff, CEO of the MCG. He's got to go around and unlock all the public gates now. They're in already.
I know, absolutely.
The members, they're all in.
And I'm sure there'll be nothing like a bistro-style meal in the members' dining room today.
We'd love to talk to you. 1-300-222-774 is the number.
Is Kelly still hanging on the line? Because we had Kelly ringing us up in the Wimmera. I don't know whether Kelly's gone.
Hello,
sorry,
Kelly.
Is Kelly there? Sorry, Kelly, give us a ring back. 1-300-222-774. We didn't get to her, but... give us a call. 1-300-222-774. We'd love to hear, as you said, Richo, from someone on the Gold Coast or up Darwin way, you've coped with
wherever you're listening,
the wild weather around the country.
This
as I said, we had sandbags in our street.
Sandbags in your street? Where do they get the sand from? Well, out your way.
SES must have come along.
They answered more than 2,000 calls.
Needed them in our house. We had the water coming in under the door.
Did you really?
Yeah, had to be jamming tea towels there. Yeah, a lot of good that did.
I was going
to
say, the tea towels don't last long, do they?
All houses would have been tested. We had three leaks throughout the house.
Yeah. Were you able to keep your guitars above the water level?
the garage copped it. There was a lot of work going on in the garage to get things off the ground.
Your guitars might have got wet. And
Well, I keep them all in the garage.
And then the strings would get rusty.
In the shed.
Or perhaps you could sing some songs for us right now.
Are you a chance to do that for us?
Greg was saying just before we came on air, he's had a record number of cricket themed ditties coming in from contributors. If you'd like to contribute at any time to Greg's oeuvre, just go to abc.net.au/coulda-beans. Attention, Greg Champion.
Now, Noni's rung us in. She called 1-300-222-774. Noni's on the Gold Coast. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Listening to you from the MCG. That was the one thing I used to miss when I first came up from Melbourne to live up here, was the MCG for the cricket and the footy.
Great to have you with us, Noni.
How's the weather been, Noni?
The weather is, God's given us the most perfect weather here. Yeah. We do have king tides on the beach. The beaches are closed, but that's not because of the weather. That's, well, the tides. But no, they're closed. They probably will be open tomorrow. But listening to you with all the hail and everything and up in Darwin and the different places, this is a wonderful place, and I've lived in a lot of countries and I love it here.
Noni, look, we were just discussing that we've had a new way of evaluating the size of hailstones. It's gone from golf balls to lemons here yesterday.
Yes.
Can you just confirm then that on the Gold Coast at King Tide the waves were the height of a 3-story building?
Let me see, how many metres did they say?
Don't go metres, just go
I
floors.
Don't know so much about a 3-storey, let's say a 2.5-storey.
Oh, yeah, block of flats.
We're still using block of flats.
Block of flats.
as the Q1, but my car was caught in hailstones about 15 years ago, and all of a sudden it got very dark and I thought it's going to hail, and I raced out, but I couldn't get to the car because I thought they'll kill me, and within seconds I had $4,000 worth of damage done to my car.
Oh dear.
Hope you were insured.
Yes, I was. But that particular day, it just came through in one area, and it blew right across from where all the cars were parked outside Movie World. And the poor devils there, all their windscreens were broken and everything there. That was shocking.
That was 15 years ago, you said?
Look, trying to work out, I'd say about 15 years ago.
Well, the claim must have just about come through recently there on that, Noni.
But I reckon that day they were like cricket balls.
Cricket balls.
When it was over, I went out and I gathered some up and I put them in an ice cream container and I froze them.
Yeah.
And my two brothers came up from Melbourne and we still had them in the fridge to show them what the size that they were like. And I reckon they were cricket balls.
Cricket balls. So, Noni, what are you going to do today?
I'm going to have a nice quiet day with the dog and the cats.
Lovely.
Listen to the cricket on the radio.
Oh, my word.
Good.
My word.
Jim and Drew and Harsha Bogle, they'll all be there calling the cricket deck. Welcome,
good to
Harsha
talk
back
to you, Noni. Great to have you with us. Noni rang 1-300-222-774, and Greg, she will be listening to cricket on the radio.
And that's a good feat to sing that song, Richo. And it's a shame this gentleman who's standing right here has moved off, because I was going to say to the people assembled and to the Coulda Beans, there's a term called invading your personal space. And I was just wondering whether this gentleman was just transgressing the law of invading the personal space.
It was the mosh pit.
He's in the mosh pit. Yeah, we have one here.
But he's since moved off. And the other people are out of respectable and decent distance. Not that...
you didn't have to move back, sir. You're all right.
Come closer, sir.
That gentleman you were talking about, he's your capo, actually.
Life is lazy, life is sweet when January comes. As long as one team's bowling and the other's making runs. I know as soon as I wake up if it's my lucky day. If the cricket's on the ABC, then everything's okay. And the cricket's on the radio, and everybody's laying low. As long as there's a game somewhere, That's all I need to know. And there's cricket on the radio. Draw the curtains, pull the blinds, it's beating down out there. Pop the feet up, Daddy, there is cricket on the air. I love the sleepy rhythm of the commentator's call. Just the ABC and me, and I'll hang on every ball. And the cricket's on the radio, and everybody's laying low. As long as there's a game somewhere, that's all I need to know. And there's cricket on the radio. And there's nothing that I have to do, nowhere I have to go. So roll that wicket, I've got cricket on my radio. Cricket's on my radio, and everybody's laying low. Just the cricket on my radio, on the radio.
Greg Champion performing live for you here at the MCG in the build-up to the first ball bowled, which is, what, exactly 2 hours away.
Yeah, exactly.
Give us the Kudamine Champions.
And I've just had a little, Billy and I have just had a little idea, Champion. We were listening to you, but we were conferring at the same time.
We had a brainstorm.
We had an idea because not that long ago we were out at the Melbourne Cup, and then also here on Grand Final Day.
We always run a sweep.
We ran a sweep on the Melbourne Cup. We ran a sweep on the Norm Smith medalist. And we thought we could run a sweep on the man of the match for the cricket.
That'd be fun, we thought.
Yeah, so 1-300-222-774.
If you want to be in it.
If we're any chance to know who's in the teams, that would help. otherwise, you just go in batting order or something. Well, here they are. Good, we've got the teams. So 1-300-222-774. If Hank's on the line. Hello, Hank. Hank was driving to the MCG.
Hello, Hank.
Hank's not there anyway. Give us a call, 1-300-222-774, and then what will happen, I would presume that the man of the match, to go with his gold ingot and his cheque and a goblet, will also get an ABC cricket book.
And how's the man of the match being decided?
In Hobart, it was done by a popular vote by the viewers.
It was a bit like the Gold Logie.
It was, yes.
I don't know whether they're keeping that going for this test.
We might have to ask them.
Because you could get rather odd results, but that doesn't matter. In the sweep, if you're in it, you win it. 1-300-222-774. Give us a ring now. You can go in Billy Baxter's Man of the Match Boxing Day Test sweep.
Why don't we put a couple in? Why don't we put Noni, who ranked on the Gold Coast?
Why don't we put Noni in already?
Draw
her one out.
Okay.
I'm just going to swing the finger around and I've come down on
Ben Hilfenhaus, Billy.
Okay.
He's from Tasmania. He's 28. I thought
he'd be an outsider, you would think. But cricket's a funny game.
Oh, Billy, someone's going to use that one day.
Is Ben Hilfenhaus 28?
Yep. Yes, he's one of our younger members of the team. So 1-300-222-774. We'll get some calls up and add a few to the list.
And in the meantime, Greg, you said people have been sending you in a lot of songs.
We just have to...
Yes, they have, and I need the news break to rewrite them and get them into broadcast order.
Last week you had a lot of Kim Jong-il songs sent in by listeners.
Kim Jong is very ill.
There's a lot of Ricky... there we go. There's a nice ground announcement just to keep everybody in the loop. But we can go to a cricket ditty if there's time.
Are there cricket ones? I thought you had more current affairs ones.
If you just wait a moment, because I've got a couple of calls. We lost a couple before. We couldn't hang on. So let's get them there while they're there. Stan's there from Balmain. Hello, Stan.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Yeah, always good to hear from you, Stan.
Let's see who you draw out.
How was Stan? Your Christmas day, Stan, all right?
I had to go to the dentist, would you believe?
On Christmas Day?
Yeah, broke a tooth, eating toast yesterday morning. And
oh, Stan.
How did you get it?
A filling on Christmas Day, $450.
$450.
Well, that's not too bad, really. I would have been prepared for a lot worse.
That's flag four at any time.
How did you find a dentist on Christmas Day?
It took a while on the neck, and then emergency numbers, et cetera, for different surgeries, and, yeah, finally got one up at Wang.
Oh, well, you got to get off that sourdough and get on a nice fluffy white loaf for your toast.
And cut the crusts off.
Yeah.
Anyway, Billy's drawn for you.
I've drawn Vihat Kohli from the Indian team. How did I go with that, Cove?
I got no idea. Okay, it's spelled K-O-H-L-I. I don't, he must be touring for the first time. We're hoping Harsha Bogle.
Is he the keeper?
No, he's not the keeper. He's a bowler.
Is he? Right.
Dhoni, you may be thinking of.
Good on your stand.
Good on your stand.
Yeah.
Duncan is in Blackburn in Melbourne. Hello, Duncan.
Good morning. Could have been.
Duncan, did people love to have a beer with you yesterday?
Yeah, several wet ones yesterday.
Yeah. I bet there was.
And your teeth are okay?
Mine are okay. My dog's got to go to the dentist next week.
Oh, dog.
And I've been quoted $900 for that.
Really?
Yeah, twice as much as Stan's teeth.
Take the human rate and double it.
You can go to one of those $2 shops and get yourself a pair of pliers for a lot cheaper than that, my friend.
Yeah,
now, Duncan, I've drawn a New South Welshman for you from the Australian team. His name is Michael Clark.
Just that he can knock a ball.
So you might have a chance
happy
there.
With him.
Good on you.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, Duncan.
Hooray.
Going up to Brisbane.
Yeah.
And who's on the line, Billy?
Is that Larry, is it?
I think it's Ian, actually.
Ian.
I was trying to set up a gag. Anyway. Hello, Ian.
Morning.
Hello. How's things in Brisbane today?
Fine and sunny.
Oh,
terrific.
Good.
All right. Have a good day yesterday?
Sure did.
You following the cricket?
Yeah. Well, sure
Billy,
am.
Billy's got a player for you to follow with great interest.
Well, it's another New South Welshman.
You could dip into that Australian team and your chances of getting a New South Welshman.
You know something, Jeff? I reckon I could dip into the Indian team and get up there.
There's only three. There's only three in this Australian team.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Stick up for them.
No. Well, Ed Cowan's now at Tasmania.
Well, that's right. Ian, I've pulled Dave Warner out of the hat for you.
That's all right.
Well, he's going for back-to-back. Man-o-matches.
Yeah, very much so. So best of luck with that, and you have a ripper day listening to cricket on the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, I sure will, and keep the good work up, fellas.
Thank you.
Good on you.
In Brisbane.
Yeah. Let's go to Mildura and say hello to Les.
G'day, Les.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, good, Les. How are you?
Oh, not bad for nothing.
What are you up to?
I'm sitting on a houseboat at the moment with a few fishing lines in.
Oh, yeah?
Gee. What are you looking for?
Oh, I'm looking for anything except the European Cup.
What do you reckon, you know, we just move the test match to our houseboat?
Les, have you got big cods?
I'm an old bloke now, used to.
You might be able to pull one out of the water.
I think he needs different baits, Billy.
Les, I've got the skipper of the Indian team, MS Dhoni, for you.
Oh, Les, you're a legend, son.
All right. Yeah. He can play a bit, so
you're
he might
in with
be in
a
for a
chance there, Les.
Good on you, Les.
Thanks, mate.
All the best with your fishing there in the Murray.
We broadcast on a houseboat once.
We broadcast from a paddle steamer.
Of course.
We did.
There's a difference. They're different forms of the game.
They are. Are they allowed to have bistro-style meals on a houseboat?
Maybe on a houseboat, but on a paddle steamer, everyone has to be well-dressed up like a riverboat gambler. You've got to be a dandy.
A dandy. Now, Andy, talking of dandy, Andy's our next participant in the sweep. Hello, Andy.
Hey, how are you guys? Good?
Andy, you're listed here as being in Bushland.
Yeah, Bushland Beach, just north of Townsville.
Oh, wow. That's an actual spot. Bushland
Is it
Beach.
Bushland or Bushland? How do you say it?
Bushland Beach, Queensland, Bushland.
Bushland Beach, north of Townsville. How are things up there?
Yeah, not too bad. A little bit overcast today, but we had a perfect day for Christmas.
Righto. What?
And nice barbecue.
What's Bushland Beach like for beach cricket, Andy?
Not too good because they're a little bit of
mud flats. Oh, mud flats. Oh, dear. Okay. A heavy roller there.
So you're well out of the way of the big winds further south.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who have you drawn for Andy, Billy?
I've got VVS Laxman.
Oh, well, you'd take him any day.
There you go. Very much so.
And, of course, Billy, VVS stands for?
Very, very silly.
Or very, very special, I think, in his case. Well done. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, Andy, up there in Bushlands Beach, Townsville. Give us the Could Have Been Champions. We're here at the Melbourne Cricket Ground.
Yep. And we've got some more sweep entrants for the Man O match to win the ABC Cricket Book. Will is in Brighton. Hello, Will.
Hello.
G'day, Will. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Right, how old are you?
13.
Now, which Brighton are you in? The South Australian one or the Victorian one?
Victorian.
Okay.
Now, Will, you're 13. We'll have to explain the concept of test cricket to you. Are you a fan of the Big Bash?
Oh, not really.
The organisers will be concerned about that. Okay, you love the tests, do you?
Yeah.
Who's your favourite player?
Dave Warner.
He's gone.
I've managed to pull out a very rare thing for you. I've got a Victorian cricketer who's in the Australian side, and that's James Pattinson for you, Will.
You happy with that, Will?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
very good.
Took five.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. Have a good day there, Will. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, Will. Let's go up to Sydney, where our next contestant may well be preparing a yacht to sail in the Sydney Hobart. Let's talk to Jane. Hello, Jane.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good. Now, Jane, from where you're sitting, can you see all the yachts?
Well, no, actually, it's a slight problem. I'm actually from Sydney, but I'm holidaying up in Tea Gardens.
Oh, beautiful. I love it up there. Mm. Now, you won't be able to see the yachts from there, will you?
No. Not quite.
How was your Christmas day in Tea Gardens?
Lovely. The weather's been fantastic for us, so absolutely fantastic.
And what are you going to do today?
Will, we're gearing up for the cricket.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Well, you'd be very happy with the player I've pulled out of the hat for you, Jane. The little master.
Oh, thanks, Billy.
Sachin Tendulkar.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, he is a god in India. Don't worry about that.
Oh, you've done all right. So you can just sit back and listen to how well he goes on ABC Grandstand today.
Absolutely.
Have a beautiful day up there in Tea Gardens.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Hooroo.
I'm not a great fan of betting on sport, I must say, and I'm loath to invoke even notion of it. But I was about to say,
This is just a bit of fun.
No, but I was about to say, I wonder what the odds would be for Sachin Tendulkar into Wild Oats for the Boxing Day double. Wasn't it fantastic too to hear them talking just earlier on that Simon Marnie program from the Cruising Yacht Club of Australia, talking about Brinda Bella?
Yeah.
There was only one thing missing.
What was that?
Ragamuffin. Yeah. Where was?
Well,
have they got
Dame Patty?
Yeah, have they not got an avenue of statues?
Where would that avenue? Where would the avenue go?
From the yacht club up the hill to Rushcutters Bay or something?
Where's the yacht club of honour? Where they just old yachts go to be looked at?
Will Hagen really sent down the zinger of the morning when he talked about a gaff sale.
Yeah, gaff.
That's inside knowledge.
Yeah. Young Jessica Watson's got a team.
Has she? Yeah.
She's in a 30-footer. She's got the youngest team.
So the average age of a crew is 19 and she's 18 or something.
Yeah.
Right. So someone's pushed the age up.
You can bet there'll be bistro-style meals on that boat.
Right. That's 2020.
We've got a few more to draw, Billy.
Okay, well, let's go.
Roger's in South Australia. Good morning, Roger. Roger.
Hello, Roger.
Yes, we're here.
Whereabouts are you, Roger?
Well, I'm travelling between... I've been having Christmas at the Sun's place at Colby Lowlight and travelling back home to Callington this morning.
Greg?
Listening through the cricket on Callington. 594.
Right,
very good.
Up on the freeway, sort of halfway to Murray Bridge, kind of.
No, I'm still between Francis and Bordertown.
Oh, Francis.
Oh, that's where you went.
Francis has the folk festival at the end of Feb.
That's the good little village, the local pub.
Lovely
very
place.
Good.
Greg's been there.
Drive carefully and safely. Billy's going to make a draw for you now.
I've pulled the vice captain of the Australian team out of the hat for you, Roger, who's Brad Haddon.
Oh, that sounds very good. He'll take five or six catches behind the stumps, and a couple of stumpings will be in the running.
Yeah, exactly. Will be. Right. If all of that happens, you'll be a chance.
Good on you, Rog.
Have a good day, Rog. Drive safely.
I think you'll be a chance.
I beg your pardon?
I think you'll be a chance.
Oh, you reckon he might win? Yeah, chance. Let's keep going. I've got Glenn in Kununurra.
Hello, oh. Glenn.
Yeah, good morning, boys. How you doing?
Sorry, I should have... G'day, Glenn. How's things in Kununurra?
Oh, absolutely beautiful, mate. Beautiful.
Yeah.
What are your plans for the day?
I'll sit down and watch a bit of the cricket, I'd say. And
listen to it on the radio.
That's correct, yes. Yes, indeed, on ABC. Yes.
Right.
Lovely. What do you think of Australia's chances?
I think they've got a great chance.
Hey, the question you probably get all the time is, how hot is it up there?
Very, very at the moment. Nice and overcast today at the moment. But,
put a number on it for us.
It's going to be up around the 40.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. I've got Verinder Sehwag for you.
Oh.
Yeah, all right.
How do you feel about that?
Medium.
He made 195 on the first day last time he played here.
Yeah, that's fair enough, too. That's fair enough. Yeah.
In the parlance, he can go a bit.
Well, with one arm behind his back.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah,
hey,
well, all right, excellent. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Okay, Glenn in Kununurra, good to hear from you.
Yes,
Let's go to Horsham, Billy, where there's a young man. Oh, sorry, it's a young lady. It's Jennifer.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hello, how are you?
Very well. Do you prefer Jennifer or would you like Jenny?
Jenny will be fine.
What about Jen?
What about Jen?
Yeah, Jen's good.
Yeah. Okay. Jen.
Jenny.
Yeah.
Jen.
Now, Jenny, did you get the mini tornadoes and the hailstones yesterday?
No, we didn't get anything.
They passed you by. You missed them. Yeah. As Billy said earlier, they were very localised.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Look, you've got a brilliant young cricketer with a great future ahead of him, I think.
Yes.
It's Sean Marsh. I've put out of the hat for you.
Great.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you're happy with that, Jen.
Well, we're on the way to the cricket.
Where are you now?
We've just passed Ballarat, so we're running a bit late.
I just craned my neck. I thought I could see you coming through the crowd.
Well, drive safely the rest of the trip. Yep. You'll be fine. It's not 9 o'clock.
Where are you thinking of parking, Jen?
Three kids asleep in the back.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Where are you thinking of parking?
Oh, wherever we can find one.
I think there still might be a chance in Yarra Park, so...
Yep.
Billy's got a car pass. He's got to leave, sending him sell it to you. that young fellow, Sean Marsh, he's a bright young prospect. How old is he?
He'd be 28.
Well, that's Australian cricket these days.
Yeah, another one of the youngsters. Yeah. Okay, thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks, Jen. Drive safely.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Pauline's in Faulkner, Billy.
Hello, Pauline.
Good morning, 774.
Did you get wet out at Faulkner yesterday?
I had to drive through very high water. But we had a lovely day.
Oh, that's good.
And do you follow the cricket?
Yes. I listen on the radio and the football.
Lovely. Right. And do you know much about the Indian team?
No, nothing. That's what I was a bit worried about.
Well, they're very, very good. And Rahul Dravid is very, very good as well.
I've heard that name. Yeah.
Well, I think he's 62 or something. Everyone goes about all these old blokes like Hussey and Ponting that should retire. They've got blokes that are 38 and 39.
Yes, they've got about three...
And that's good. Isn't that an inspiration to everybody?
Does the Indian press go berserk about Sachin being too old?
I don't think so.
The batsmen take a while to come on. So.
They do. Anyway,
have a great day out there at Faulkner. What are your plans for the day?
Oh, I haven't cleaned out the car yet, so that's the next thing.
From driving through the water yesterday. Yeah.
Well, all the presents.
I'll let it dry out before you start.
Thank you very much.
We'll have a chat to Stephen Goff. He might be able to borrow the super soaker for you.
Anyway, there's a chance Billy, I says, leaving early. He could come around. How much do you clean it up for, Billy?
Oh, you know, you get change out of $100.
Oh, that's a lot better than a broken tooth.
Oh. Yeah.
And as we say about those Indian batsmen, they take a while to come on, and they take a while to nick off.
They do indeed.
Well, that's about half of the players allotted to the Could Have Been's Man of the Match sweep.
Yeah, so if you want to be in the sweep, you can call now, and we'll get to you after the news.
In the next hour.
Well, in the second hour, when we come back after the news, we might take a few more calls on 1-300-222-774, and we might also get some live entrance from our crowd that's building up here too, Billy. I think that's only appropriate. The people that have been standing here for a while get an opportunity to go into your sweep. I can guess they've got ABC cricket books written all over.
In the hour we've been on air here, the crowd has really started to build up here at the MCG. Plenty of people moving about. The atmosphere here is great. News is coming up very shortly on ABC local radio, but we, the Could Have Been Champions, will be here after the news. talking to you right up until 10 o'clock when we'll hand over to our grandstand colleagues.
Yes, we've got some of our Indian supporters out here just fairing their colours and their...
Flying the white, red and orange.
Yeah, they're just heading over to white, the practice wicket orange, to have pardon? A look at a few oh. blokes in the nets.
Are they in the nets, Andy? Have you seen people in the nets? I'm just going
yeah,
to go along.
Yeah, there are crowds. They're all heading over to have a look. I think the Indians might be out down there having a bit of a hit up.
I'll be going, once we've completed the sweep draw, I'll be able to give you some form. I'll go, like the mounting yard. I'll go look at them in the mounting yard.
Very good.
In the nets, and we'll just see who's thrusting their names in front of the man of the match selector.
It was the day after Christmas. And all through the house, we're off to the cricket! Ho, ho, ho! Grouse, the Killing Champions, Boxing Day Test, special broadcast, Jeffy! Pat up, your next drop! Ha, 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 ha! How's that?
Oh.
Settle down, huh?
What a challenge thrown down to me by the UNC. Pat up, your next drop. It really, there's two kinds of people in this world, aren't there? There are those people who, when they hear that said, pat up your next drop, just jump up and can't wait to get out there. Yeah. And there are those who have a very sinking feeling in their stomach. And good morning. Welcome to have you with us here at the MCG with the Kudamine Champions on Boxing Day. It's good morning to Billy Baxter.
Good morning. Great to be here too. Great to see the fans rolling up here on this august occasion.
Ian Cover.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Australia.
And Greg Champion.
Yes, good morning. The light is just improving. We will have play, I'm sure, and no delays.
There is a breeze, so if you haven't left home yet and you're coming into the MCG, I would just bring a pullover.
Yes, although it's heading up into that 18, 19, 20, yeah, 21
but
zone.
You might find 22, 23. In the shade, in the breeze, you just might want to jump it.
And, well, it is heartening to see some people that still are wearing the cricket going gear, which is the shorts and the T-shirts out in front of us here.
And the thongs.
Yeah, not enough thongs, so I'm looking for thongs. But
a lot of these younger folk are wearing these sort of like little slip-on slippers, like the boy out here in the board shorts.
Yes, I noticed those.
And you wouldn't want to be dropping an old steel can on those, would you?
Well, they're sort of like a pair of runners without laces, aren't they?
That's very...
Yeah. Oh, I miss masculine footwear.
Oh, really?
I think that those shoes you're looking at there, Ian, they're actually called kids.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think that's what they are.
I thought that was a cheese-flavoured biscuit.
Well, it could be that as well.
Now, we've got a bit to do in the remaining hour we're here, because we've got to get over to the nets to see how they're forming up in the mounting yard. And we've also got to complete our sweep draw.
Yep.
And we've got some callers on the line. Billy?
Yes.
Keith is in Ballarat.
Hello, Keith. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
That's a shot. We'll whip through a few here, boss. I won't keep you on the line too long. Keith, I've pulled out Nathan Lyon for you.
Thank you very much.
He's from South
You're
Australia.
You're very welcome.
And he bowls spin. There you go.
What's his first name, Ian?
It is Nathan.
Well, it must be something. What is it?
Nathan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a lovely day, Keith.
Okay,
old material.
Thank you.
Good on you. Let's go down to Fish Creek and say good morning to Peter.
G'day, Kudabeans. How are you?
Yeah. Very well. How are things in Fishies?
Not too bad. It'd be better if I didn't have to milk the cows.
Oh, dear.
How many did you milk this morning?
224.
224. All right. What, did you have to milk them Christmas Day as well?
Yeah, they never stopped.
Oh, well, see, people ought to stop and reflect on the people that, you know, have to work.
Yeah.
Well done. Is that the machinery we can hear in the background?
Yes, yeah, milking away at the minute. Multitasking.
That's got a lovely click to it, too, hasn't it?
What have you got there? You're running a herringbone?
Yeah, it's a 20-a-side herringbone. With cup removers, so it makes my job a little bit easier.
Yeah, I've always thought that's the way to go.
Yeah, I reckon it is.
We might be doing the country here next. Peter, Billy's drawn for you.
Ed Cowan.
Oh, how appropriate.
That's good, because the debutants are winning all of the man of the matches.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's got the word cow in Cowan.
There you go.
That's it, yeah.
Made for
and
you, Peter.
I've got some new units of measure for you.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I've got some hay to shift today.
Yeah.
And the bales are about the size of a small midfielder.
Very good.
No, bales of hay are always the size of a Volkswagen.
That would make sense.
What bales are they? The round bales or the rectangular?
Round bales. Bales. So, and the cows are giving approximately $1.25 buckets.
See, kids can't go hay carting in the school holidays anymore, can they? Because the bales are so big.
Yeah, well, I've only shifted about 300 of those little idiot bricks. So.
Well, next time I'm enjoying my glass and a half of full cream milk, I'll be thinking of you down at Fish Creek, Peter. Yeah. Have a great day.
Thanks, though, guys.
And let the cricket entertain you throughout your working day down there, Peter.
I was just going to get him to run through the names of all 224 cows. There'd be a daisy there somewhere, wouldn't
there? Yeah, it'd have to be, wouldn't it?
Okay. I got a feeling that our next caller might normally be in Hamilton, but she's changed her name to Jane from Anglesey.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good,
hello,
Jane.
Very
how,
well.
How many sweeps have you been in, Jane?
Quite a few.
Yeah, have you ever won?
No.
Well, nothing's going to change. It might, though, Billy. Who have you drawn for Jane?
Ishant Sharma.
Ooh. Oh, he's injured.
No, he's Indian.
He's coming back off injury, but you never know.
No, we've just got the nod from someone who should know that he's playing.
Yep.
Right, okay. Then.
He could be the destroyer this morning. You never know.
He could be. Oh, he's had the haircut, I noticed. Which lots.
Now, boys, weather update is magnificent.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
This afternoon from the beach, so it's beautiful down here.
It's beautiful at the beach at Anglesey. All right. Have a nice time in regards to your father and family.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jane. So that's good. The weather coming through Anglesey looks good for the cricket.
Now, we're going to go down to Tassie where they're on lookout for the for wild oats. and it's Nick. Hello, Nick. Nick's in Tassie.
Yep.
Hello, Nick. You're on the air.
Thank you. Guys, you forgot our Brighton.
You've got a Brighton. That was my oversight. Now, from where you're sitting, can you see any of the yachts approaching?
My long vision is no good anymore, I'm sorry.
But what about when they do get there?
Yeah, it's going to get crowded down at Constitution Dock, I'll tell you.
As always? Yeah.
Yep.
Now, Nick, Billy's drawn one for you.
Yes, Nick. Small Nick to first slip. You've got Zahir Khan.
Well, it's an outside chance.
Yeah.
Well, as Billy said, it's a funny game. So there you go. Well done to you, and good luck down there in Tassie when the yachts arrive.
I'm on my way to work.
Oh, yeah, where are you working?
Port Arthur.
Oh, yeah? In Port tourism, Arthur. Or...?
Yeah, I'm a casual guide at Port Arthur.
Oh, terrific.
Oh, well, you have a lovely day there.
Yeah, we will. It's one of our big days of the year.
Yeah, that'll be tremendous. Thanks for calling in, and have a terrific day.
And you guys too. Thank you for the show.
You're very welcome. Lovely to have you on board.
And finally on the calls, before I go into the crowd, Billy, John. Yes. John's in Western Australia. Hello, John.
G'day, how are you?
Whereabouts in Western Australia?
In Capel.
Where's Capel?
Where hell's Capel? I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Walked
it's
into that.
A town between Bunbury and Busselton.
Oh, now we know where you are.
Yeah, good.
Heading down south there toward Margaret. I've pulled a West Australian out of the hat for you. He's in the Australian team. His name's Mike Hussey.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, you happy,
happy with that?
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, good-o.
Righto.
Okay.
1-300-222-774 if you'd like to be part of the sweep. But just now, Ian is making his way out into the crowd to get some contributions for the folks who've turned up down
we'll
here.
Yeah, we'll let some of the people here at the MCG have a chance to go in the sweep. Where are you, Ian? We've lost sight of you.
Can't see him.
It's a massive crowd out here. I'm down a deep, fine leg at the minute, and I've just spotted a bloke in the crowd. I'm just going to see whether any of the boys here on the panel can recognise this chap here.
No.
Just say hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, it's King Corgi.
No, it's Steve.
Oh, hello, Steve.
Steve, put him in the sweep.
Yeah.
And see if you can pull out Peter Siddle for him.
Oh, right. Not his dad. It's his dad?
No, I have. I've pulled out Peter Siddle.
You wouldn't have any knowledge on how Peter's going at the moment, would you, Steve?
He's very fit, ready to go.
Right. Did he have Christmas Day with you yesterday?
Yes.
Is there backyard cricket at the Siddle household on Christmas Day?
No, people would get killed probably.
By you?
No.
He's going all right at the moment, Peter, isn't he?
Yeah, he seems to be,
Well, he's the mainstay of the Australian attack.
Yeah, the old dog. Yeah, so.
And he's taught James Pattinson a few tricks too.
Oh, that's the Dandy's side of it, see.
Yeah, from Dandenong and all. Is this Peter's brother here?
Daniel. This is Daniel.
Daniel Siddle. Thanks, Steve. Good to see you. He's the little brother.
Yeah.
He's better than his brother. He just doesn't want to play test cricket for Australia.
Yeah. How did you go at cricket?
Oh, not real good.
Yeah.
I got into cars.
In cars? Racing cars?
Or stealing them.
He said, they don't go stereotyping. That part of it. So, racing them or just doing them up? Or
racing.
Yeah.
Been over Japan last 3 years in a row to do it, so.
Ah.
Really? It's good fun.
Did Dan wood chop?
Yeah, did you wood chop as well?
Yes, I did.
Right. Hey, who's the best wood chopper? You, Peter, or the old man?
I think the old man was, just...
We ought to bring the wood chop back. Yeah, you know, you're going to get Steve in there doing the
Let's
countdown.
Let's have wood chop during the lunch break at the test.
Yeah, wouldn't that
That's
be good, eh? Hey? Steve would be out there, hey?
Yep.
Be good. And Mum's here, Alison's here too. Hello, lovely to see you again. Just a bit of air kissing on radio. That goes well, doesn't it? And how was? Did you have to do all the work yesterday for Christmas lunch in the Siddle household?
Yes, I did.
Did you? What did you cook up?
Everything.
Everything.
Pork, turkey, lamb, vegetables, about 10 vegetables.
Right, so... I've got a feeling Peter Siddle might be bowling about a 125 to 130 today if he's carrying all that Christmas. And Christmas pudding?
Yes, lots of sweets.
You didn't smash the dining room table this year?
Yeah, because that was a big disaster, wasn't it?
That was 2 years ago, No, this year we've got a big solid wooden table now, so no breakage.
Steve just went out and cut a couple of trees down and knocked up a table. That's good. So it's very always exciting, watching the cricket, right?
Oh, always, yeah. It's good to be here.
Saw that thing in the paper, though, Peter in his study at home with all his memorabilia and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Do you look after that for him?
No, that's his place.
He can do the housework, can he?
Well, he tries to.
He tries to. Hey, great. Have a great day. It's great to have Mum and Dad and brother here in the Siddle family.
Yeah. Good on you.
Hey, good on you. Good luck. Good to see you. Steve might see you over the duration. And Alison, Dan, righto. We put Peter... Steve's in the draw.
Yeah, he's had his...
Yeah, Steve's got Peter Siddle.
Won't there be an uproar in the ABC if we discover that...
wait for the Senate inquiry.
Gee, if Peter's man of the match... There's a chap here in the Indian top. What's your name?
Rajesh.
Rajesh. Put that down, Billy. Are you a resident of Australia or have you come out from India?
No, I come out from India.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When did you get here?
It's 2 years ago,
right. So
I've been here 2 years.
Right. Yeah. And is this the first time you've been to the MCG to see India playing in a test, though?
Exactly, yeah.
Excited?
Yeah, very excited.
Right.
Yeah.
And
here, last 2 years, I watched the last year Ashes, and before years, Pakistan versus Australia. Yeah, this is third time. It's very exciting, India's playing, yeah.
Yeah. Has Rajesh played some cricket himself?
Nah. I've been 10 years ago.
Yeah. When you played cricket, were you a batsman or a bowler?
No, bowler.
Bowler?
Yeah.
Well, they're a bit short on for bowlers at the moment.
Really?
You could sneak in, Rajesh.
Yeah, exactly.
Who have you drawn for him in the sweep, Billy?
Well, Rajesh, I've pulled out a fellow revered by the Indian nation. Not one of yours, one of ours. I've got Ricky Ponting.
Yeah, boy. No, Ricky, I love him over
there.
They
do love him.
You too. Yeah. Yeah, he's a great player.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So Billy, if Ricky wins the man of the match, you'll be able to track Rajesh down to give him his prize, will you?
Yes, I think I will. I'll just hail a taxi.
Oh, Billy.
And go out to Rajesh's house.
Exactly right.
So okay. Best of luck anyway, Rajesh, and lovely to see you here at the MCG on Boxing Day.
I'm just fearful of problems tracking down some of our people we meet in the crowd because they've come from all over the world to be with us. But
good luck,
Rajesh.
Young Andy will go around and get their mobile numbers.
Yeah. What a good idea, so we can do that. Now, we've got a couple of guests that have joined us.
Yes,
we better
pay attention to those.
We do. We are here for the test, of course, which gets underway in just over an hour's time. And a very important part of the next 5 days for everybody right around Australia listening to the test will be the voice of Drew Morford. Good morning to you, Drew.
Hello,
morning,
Richard.
Drew.
Good morning, all. Billy, not a drop of rain yesterday.
No. All dry as a bone in our neck of the woods, Drew.
Could not believe it.
Yeah.
Tornadoes, hailstones like that.
Yeah.
We had nothing.
No.
I swam 3 times.
Did you?
Did you?
Nothing.
Yeah.
You had nothing.
Nothing.
Not the once, but 3 times.
Yeah.
I saw Laurie Lawrence on the news last night telling people not to go in the surf on the Gold Coast, and meanwhile you were swimming in your pool.
Meanwhile, we went to the supermarket car park 3 times to avoid the hailstones.
But, Drew, here you are. Another Boxing Day's come around. It's a work day for you, but you are loving it, aren't you not?
Oh, this is the greatest day of cricket in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
Because... you know, there's other countries who'd love to steal the main stage, Boxing Day, away from us. Like South Africa would love to play a test match against us in South Africa on Boxing Day. But, hey, we've cornered the market. This is the biggest day of cricket in Australia and therefore the world, because there's no other ground in the world that can generate money like the MCG.
Just on that point, Drew, I've often wondered how they draw up the fixture for the international cricketing calendar and how Australia have managed to always get a Boxing Day test. Just given that we're not in the in the power seat of international
cricket.
Just ink
in Boxing Day, MCG, and the others fit around it somewhere.
It's like Grand Final Day, and then they just make exactly it the rest
right.
of the season.
Exactly right. Where would you want to be in the world
back
here?
You work backwards from Boxing Day.
Now, right alongside Drew in the Could Have Been's outside broadcast marquee is a man who did grace the test arena for Australia. Ian Callan, well, you were known as Mad Dog. Do they still call you that, Ian?
Call me Doggy now.
Doggy.
Doggy.
Yeah, good. And Doggy, you played your one and only test against India.
That's correct, yes. It was Adelaide Oval, 78.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fifth test of a five-test series.
I'm tipping they didn't give you a green top to bowl on.
No, they didn't, no. February, 40 degrees every day.
Yeah. You weren't there calling it, Drew?
No, I didn't do that one.
No, no. Just doing
what
shield
was
cricket
it?
Those days.
What year was it?
78, Drew.
And how'd you go, Ian?
I might have been there, I forget it.
Well, it was a fantastic test series. India won the first two tests. Oh, sorry, Australia won the first two tests. India won the next two.
Right.
So it was even Stevens going the last. It was during the packet times, of course. Most of the... Well, they say that all the best players disappeared.
Except you.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but it was a six-day test, which was unusual.
Yeah.
And, of course, we had to win it to win the series. They had a fantastic team. Gavaskar, Vensarka, Vishwanath, this goes on. Mm. Bedi, Prasanna, Chandrasekhar, Kamani, the keeper. On the sixth day, I think they needed 40 to win in the last session, or before lunch, I suppose. They had to get it. And we managed to get a couple of wickets, and we won. So
wow.
It was a winning test series, a winning test match. Doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. Did you get one of those wickets on that last morning?
You had a couple.
Yeah,
good on you.
A couple of wickets.
And did you race to the actual wickets and souvenir yourself a bale or a stump?
No, I was given a stump after the game by... Bobby Simpson.
Really?
So I've still got that stump.
Magnificent. Whereabouts? It mounted up in the
I think
den?
It's up with my jumper.
Yeah. And your baggy green?
My mum's got my baggy green.
Fantastic.
So what happened? They said, thanks very much, don't go again.
No, I had a tour of the West Indies, but unfortunately I fractured a vertebrae in my back. I didn't know it at the time. In those days, they couldn't diagnose things like they do nowadays. They have these... what they call it, scans or something these days, that they can pick up the injury straight
MRI,
away.
Yeah,
MRIs.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it was about a year later that I discovered I had the fractures. I just couldn't bowl. Getting the position, but couldn't follow through.
But you'd been making it worse all this time, but trying to bowl.
Yeah, they put me on stretch racks and all sorts of things to try and straighten out. Some people thought I was... making it up. But,
Ian, it was an unusual time. You said it was during the packer period and theoretically all the so-called best players were unavailable. And yet that time when test cricket continued, we did see some fabulous test matches and fabulous test series, as you just outlined, the one you were involved in against India.
Anyone who plays first-class cricket, I think, has got to be a pretty good cricketer. And, given an opportunity, it's there to be taken, and most people do. I mean, in India, I think you could probably field a couple of test sides.
Yes.
I suppose it wouldn't have been the third 11, but it would have been the second 11 Australian team in those days. But and we all went out there and we played our hearts out for Australia, and that's what it's about.
That games were very entertaining.
In that test, the one you did play in Adelaide, was Rodney Hogg taking the new ball with you?
No, Hoggy hadn't
exploded
on the scene then.
He's the end of that year, was it?
He was playing for South Australia then.
Yeah.
I think he was having a few injury problems, but Tomo was the opening bowler, Wayne Clark. Tomo bowled, well, he started off, he got two wickets. I've never seen anything so quick in my life. they were a bit worried about getting behind the ball.
Yeah.
And they were two down for not many, then he did a hamstring. So they gave me the ball to bowl the other end, and had to finish the over off. I didn't know whether it was going to hit the wicket or where it was going to go. But I tell you what, it was a fantastic game. It was a fantastic series. I mean, it was what you. I was listening to James Patterson talk today about what it's all about, playing for your country. That's what you set out to do. And it was just a thrill.
And you did it.
I did it.
How old were you when you made play that test?
22. Wow, I was only a young bloke.
Like Patterson, he's 21.
Yeah. Who presented your baggy green to you, Ian?
I think I got it in a paper bag.
Yeah, did you really? they used to just leave it on the seat in front of your locker or something, didn't they? Now they hand them out.
Well, you haven't divorced yourself from cricket in the ensuing years. You're actually a manufacturer, not of cricket balls, but cricket bats.
Yeah, I'm a cricket bat willow grower.
Yeah.
I grow the trees, and we now make the bats out of the trees, all here in Australia.
Yeah.
I'm still involved in coaching in district cricket ranks.
Okay. Just on the bats.
Yeah, here's one. Oh, just being put in front.
By magic, it just
appears. How mature does the tree become before you harvest it for the bat?
Well, I started this project back in 1990.
Yeah.
And it's taken 17 years to get first trees.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
And it's constant work every day of the week. No holidays at the moment. The trees are underwater up at Healesville.
Yeah.
For the 26th time.
The willow blue.
Is that good for them?
I love water. Yeah. I don't know if it's all. I don't think this amount of water. We've had exceptional rains. We've had years of drought, and now it's all this rain about. It's amazing. So,
Ian Callan is our guest. The size of the edges these days, just phenomenal. You're putting a lot more willow into a bat, everybody is, than, say, 20 years ago?
Yeah, well, I think the normal bat would have been about £2, 4 ounces.
That's cheap.
Back in my day, but nowadays, if you get something 2.6 to £2.10 is about average.
And it's got a beautiful scoop in it.
It's got a curve on the face.
Yeah, big bow. It's been.
In the old days, you used to have to belt that in, didn't you?
You belt them in like that, but that's the way they like it these days. Play the up and under shot.
How do you go knocking the bat in? That's something that's changed too, hasn't it, Ian? You now press the bats a bit so they don't need to be knocked in as much.
Yeah, we've always pressed the bats. We've had to press them to stop the dents.
And you take that around and show the people who are watching.
They're pretty well pressed, about 2 tonne, 2.5 tonne.
Goes
in the bats to stop the dents. Otherwise, you get them back in your shop and you've got to fix them.
And your linseed oil? I got my first bat. I can never, just every night oiling it. It was just a thing of beauty. But they were that narrow. Now there's. How do you actually then put so much width in the, or depth in the edges, and still not make them too heavy?
Yeah.
Well, every bat you make, you have to. A lot of bats get made on a copy lathe or a machine. These ones are handcrafted. We leave a lot of willow in the bats. We have a basic shape. It's all done by a plane, hand plane, spoke shave, draw knife.
And how old is Lindsay now? Because he seems to be involved in cricket bats for a long time.
Who's that?
Lindsay Doyle.
No, linseed oil.
Big your pardon.
Lindsay Doyle.
Now, Ian, you said, 17 years to before you can actually harvest some willow. Is that from when the tree is planted?
Yes, 17 years from the time the tree is planted. So they have to get to about a 16-inch diameter before you can get any sort of quality out of it. Some of the trees are in there at the moment.
Yep.
I planted it, won't be ready for another 10 years.
I had some bloke come to me about 20 years ago wanting if I wanted to invest in a willow farm, but that'll never work. It's not that it takes so long to grow, but that's not too bad, is it?
Oh, well, I suppose it depends where you plant it too, Ian. It's where you plant the trees.
Oh, no, some fellow was doing it up in central Victoria somewhere.
Up near Swan Hill.
Oh, I'm not sure. So there's a few plantations around?
There's a couple of plantations around. A guy called Lachlan Fisher is into it as well. He's done an enormous job trying to get it up and running. His farmers growing the trees in the Gippsland area. Places like Merboo, Flynn's Creek. They have thousands of trees in the ground growing. Yeah.
And have you been to visit willow farms in England?
Yes, not much information's passed on from over there. They just said we
that'd be right.
Couldn't
keep
grow
it a secret.
Yeah,
can't grow it here. But the Crockett family back in 1902 planted the first trees. English Test captain Archie McLaren sent the willow to Australia.
Yeah.
He married an Australian girl. He got married at honeymoon at Healesville. And said that, listen, this is a great place to grow the trees in these flats in the Yarra Valley. So we've got a couple of plantations, one at Tarawarra, another one at the race course at Healesville.
If I got Philly to sneak out one night and go over the fence and cut a couple of branches off.
Every chance of that.
Yes. Could we fashion our own? Or?
You probably could, but you'd want to be careful knocking them down.
It's an extraordinary story. So Tarawarra is not only known for wine grape, but for cricket bat willow, and has been so for over 100 years.
Yeah, across the road is the Tarawarra vineyard.
Yeah.
And what are the stumps made of? Could you go into stump making too with the offcuts?
Yeah, English ash.
English ash for the stumps, yeah.
So haven't been able to find any English ash.
Mm. Well, just make them out of willow, but put a stain on. So it looks like English ash. No one's going to know.
What was your first class batting average?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good question.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. That's not that good, I don't think.
I'm wondering how come...
What's my test batting average?
Yeah, well, you'd know that.
It's better than Bradman's.
Better than Bradman's.
Yeah, infinity.
Infinity.
Never out.
Still batting.
Beautiful. Still batting. That's fantastic.
Magnif.
And
so for a bloke who spent his life bowling and getting seam position and shining and all that stuff, how come you went into bats after all that?
Well, I guess when you're running in bowling to these blokes... This had opportunities. Nowadays they run to helmets, so you can't really understand them all that well. Mm. But you get to learn, you sit in the dressing rooms with batsmen and you get to learn, you know, what they like, what they don't like. Mm. They need, you know, a bit superstitious. The bat has to be perfect for them to make any sort of run, so it doesn't feel good. They're gone. So I guess you learn to appreciate what values are in cricket bats, and we've decided that the willow trees we grow here, we picked them out, and we think that these are going to be really good for rebound qualities.
What's the word in the cricket world? Who has the biggest bat? Chris Gayle, Davey Warner, or Virender Sehwag?
Well, I think Dhoni's got the biggest bat.
Dhoni?
MS.
What would that weigh?
Probably about 2 pound 12, but it's this, the apex between the surface of the bat and the ridge in the back.
Yeah.
And I've seen the bat. It's interesting.
I smell a rat here. You know what I reckon Ian Kellen's doing? I reckon he's seeking revenge on all the batsmen. He's making rummy bats so the fast bowlers can whiz through. They can't get it off the ground. No, they're actually a magnificent bat. And where do you find them? Are they in all the sports stores?
No, I sell them online.
Really?
Yeah,
what's the website?
Or career clubs. If career clubs... may sell them at in over the bar because they raise money for the club. Out of that, they get a proceeds for the sale of the bat.
Right, eh?
That's good. Like a sports store, but they get the money instead of the, and it goes back into junior development.
A bat like Ricky Ponting uses, for example, which is top of the range, they retail for $700 or something. They're not cheap, are they?
Yeah, well, some of these retail for $700. Ones that are custom made by me.
Yeah.
Other than that, you're looking around about the $450-$500 mark for a bat that's mass produced.
Andrew McDonald, who plays for Victoria and one of the new Big Bash teams, they were down in Geelong having a training workout for a couple of days last week, and Cameron Ling, the retired Geelong football captain who played a bit of cricket as a junior, went down the nets for a publicity.
Can you work Geelong into a conversation? Always.
He went down for a bit of a publicity thing, and it's Andrew McDonald's favourite bat that he wanted to use on the Thursday night here or something, and Ling's played one shot with it and they've taken a piece out of the bottom of the bat, just the size of your fist, wrecked it.
Well, it's a one of those things that happened. That's a problem with 2020 cricket. The bats are made of wood, of course.
Yeah.
And they're playing shots these days, and the boys are a lot stronger than they used to be. Yeah. A lot more gym work goes into it. And of course, the bats are, because they want so a big bat, the timber's got to be dried out more than what it usually is. So it's a little bit more brittle.
It's going to crack.
Well, yeah. Ian, great to have you here. Great to hear about the enterprise you're involved with, growing the willow and making the bats. Only one thing left for you to do is then go into guitar making with Greg Champion. You can have a willow...
The electric cricket bat.
Wouldn't that be something? Get a willow guitar.
Yeah, that's unheard of. Yeah.
Hey, great to see you, Doggy, and some great memories of your career.
Drew, you've got to head upstairs and start work. Is there one thing over the next 5 days you're looking forward to more than anything else?
Well, depending on the result of the toss, we're going to see Davey Warner batting or Virender Sehwag batting at the start. Now, whether we start on time, I do hope we do, but you don't want to miss the first ball, because whoever's batting, it's going to be on for young and old.
And one final question for Ian Kellen. What was your fastest recorded delivery?
They didn't have the technology in those days, Cove.
Didn't they? Were you up there at 150, were you?
No, I would have been about 145, I suppose.
Yeah, that's swift enough. That's what most of the Australian pace attack's bowling at the minute.
Mm. Yeah, well, every now and again you can get one up there.
Yeah.
Did you ever jerk one?
No.
I have. He looked me in the eye when he said
that. Ian Callan, and Drew Morford. Yeah. We will be listening to you throughout the summer. Yeah. Have a great day and a great test, Drew.
Thanks, Drew.
Thanks, Blaine.
Well,
and
well batted.
A good thing about a willow guitar is when you get a heckler, you'll be able to whack him over the head.
Yeah. You're listening to the Kudamine Champions on ABC Local Radio. We're coming to you live from the MCG as the crowd now is building up for the Boxing Day test.
Mm.
It's less than an hour until that first ball is bowled, and Drew made a very good point there. Whoever wins the toss, there's going to be an absolute crackerjack batsman facing the first ball.
Absolutely,
very much so.
And Ed Cowan, he'd be a bit sweaty palms at the minute too.
Yeah,
running an hour away from them being in the middle. Should it all go according to plan? Have we completed the sweep, Billy?
We've got a couple more
Indian players
to appoint to our. Are we doing a tier at the ground, or are we going to calls in?
I don't know. We got anyone? We might get a couple more out in the crowd. Might be the way to go to double things up here.
Yep.
Is Greg feeling like perhaps performing a song or two?
I've also got the Christmas bonbon file here as well.
Oh, have you?
Did you bring some from the supermarket car park?
We didn't have bonbons yesterday.
Well, there's three. I've put it into three files, Cove. Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yeah.
Tragic.
Yeah.
And what were they thinking?
Can we have what were they thinking?
Let's go to what were they thinking.
Oh, well, what were they thinking? That's a bit good for what were they thinking.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Well, that's just ridiculous. What? Well, that's, here's a what were they thinking. Yes. What? What do ghosts eat? No, that's just... That is a what were they...
these are so bad you can't even read them.
Let's see. If someone in the studio, in the MCG audience, can answer the question,
right.
We might put them in the sweep.
Good idea, boss.
The question is, what do ghosts eat?
What do ghosts eat? Yeah. Anyone get this in their bonbon yesterday?
I can't think of it. It's too... It's too.
Andy,
hang on, here we go.
There's
one over here.
Yeah.
What's your name? Kylie.
Spooketty.
That's correct.
Spooketty.
That is correct.
Kylie, you go straight into the sweep.
Spooketty.
Well done, Kylie.
In fact, we should have someone adjudicating over on these. And there's no better adjudicator than former test umpire Len King.
Go, Lenny.
Hello,
Lenny. Len.
Good. Glad to have you adjudicating. Just put the finger up if you think they're out.
This one is too easy and too old. What did the big chimney say to the little chimney?
What did the big... Hang on. There's a gentleman here.
You're too young to smoke.
That is correct.
Your name, sir?
Alan.
Alan. Who's that?
You from, Billy?
Originally Yorkshire, but I've been here 50-odd years and a Carlton supporter.
Hey.
Oh, well, you've still got your health.
Yeah, but who do you vote for in the cricket?
Well, who do you think? Australia, of course.
How about last year?
Australia as well. I have a big argument with myself because he can't believe that I'm still barracking for Australia after all these years.
Kid.
He won't be that back into Yorkshire.
Alan's got Umesh Yandav. And Kylie has Ravi Ashwan.
Okay,
Ravi Chandran
Ashwan. Do you that? With Ravi? Is he bat or bowl? She knows all the gags, but doesn't know whether he bats or bowls. Have we got any to go, Billy? Oh, question for us.
Yeah,
just Craigie. One.
Here we go. Where does Tarzan buy his clothes? Someone will know this.
There's a young fella down here.
Yeah.
Can you give him a hint? Oh, he's running
he
away.
He ran
from
away from you, boss.
Well, what does Tarzan live
in? He must have thought I was Tarzan.
Where does Tarzan
Well, what does he live in, Tarzan?
No, so good. Hang on.
Oh, I got a hand up here.
Here we go. Colin. It's Colin.
It's Colin.
Hello,
How
Colin.
About the Jungle Store?
The Jungle Store?
Jungle Sale, but I'll give it to
the
him.
The Jungle Sale.
The
yeah.
Jungle Sale.
I'll That's give it to him.
Put who's, Colin down. Where you from,
who
Colin?
Who Colin get to?
He's from Montrose.
Colin from Montrose. Do you know him, do you?
I do know him. I go to the football with him every week.
Guatem Gambia.
Yeah, good player.
Now, are we doing 12th man too, boss?
Well, we know Mitchell Stark's 12th for Australia, and I don't think you can win man of the match from there. It's
all
a
right.
tough ask.
Well, that's our sweep then, boss.
The sweep is done. All our contributors are there on Billy's little list.
In India, have they named their 12th man?
No, it's possible. Is what I haven't
possible,
played.
Yeah,
possible
yeah.
11.
He, yes, so
they haven't named it.
We'll
see, I hope we've got the winner.
Only time will tell.
Okay,
All right. Well, look.
Any more from well,
we'll be able to announce the winner next Saturday night on our New Year's Eve show. We can try these ourselves
now that all the sweeps up.
This falls between what were they thinking and, what is green and goes to a summer camp? I'm going to give you the answer because you're never going to...
Oh, hang on a minute.
Go on, have a crack. What's green and goes to a summer camp? Go on.
I was trying to get something with gherkin in it or something.
Yeah. Well, you're in the right area. It's a vegetable, yes.
It's a cucumber.
It is a vegetable. The answer?
What's to start with?
B.
Beetroot something, wasn't it?
It's a green vegetable.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
B.
Broccoli.
B.
Brussels sprout.
Oh.
Gee, that's funny.
What were they thinking?
How do you start a flea race? 1-2 flea go. That's down the bottom of the pile there. So there you go.
Alan would have known that.
They're the good one. Oh, here's one for the milk for the dairy farmers.
Yeah.
Why do cows lie down in the rain? To keep each other dry. Oh.
Peter at Fish Creek would have known that.
There you go.
Exactly. I don't quite get that one.
No.
Each other dry.
Oh.
And finally, here's
each
one.
Each other.
Here's a sporty one.
Yeah.
Why was Cinderella no good at football?
Because she kept losing a slipper.
Because her coach was a pumpkin.
That's the best one of the lot.
That was
fantastic.
Oh, I look forward in the
That's
coming...
That's a great one to finish on.
I look forward in the coming year to fans, when their side's not going too well, saying, well, what do you reckon? We've got a pumpkin for a coach. Yeah.
We're the Cinderellas today.
Do you have some ditties for our listeners?
Yeah, come on. Greg's had a lot of people sending songs in over the last couple of weeks.
And I did note, too, straight out in front of us in the crowd here, a young fellow talking about when Ian Kellen was here and he was playing for Australia during the World Series days. There's a young fellow out here wearing the official World Series top, you know, the yellow with the...
So there is.
Oh, yes, look, it's got where the wickets are, those burnt-out stumps with the red ball up above it.
That's an heirloom.
He wouldn't have been born when they were playing that in those
shirt's
shirts.
Probably worth about $20,000. That might be the only one left in Australia.
He's only a young fellow, but he's working on the midriff. Look at that.
He's
working on the norm.
All he needs is a fag in one hand and a can in the other, and he's Dougie Walden. He's got those slip-on shoes, too.
Yeah,
the kids.
You get trampled on when he goes to the bar. Sorry, Greg.
Yeah.
It's all right. I'm practicing it because I haven't seen it before either until right now.
Have you got any more Kim Jong-il songs?
No, this is cricket-related, and they've come in from listeners. Doug Long, I think Dougie Long sent the idea.
Hello, Doug.
Lord help ye, Ricky Ponting.
Hang on. Can you plug your guitar in, Greg? It's a basic fundamental.
There's a hole in the bottom of the guitar. Slip that in there.
If Greg was opening for Australia today, like
he
Ed Cowan...
didn't take his bat out.
He'd go out without his bat.
Lord help ye, Ricky Ponting, if you're in the team today. I hope you have some luck if you take block on Boxing Day. You've had some shocking runs, so may things finally go your way. Good timing, you'll need some boy, oh boy, boy, oh boy. Good timing, you'll need some boy, oh boy. Rooty doo. Next one.
Perhaps we should have run a sweep on how many Ricky will make.
Yes.
Would that be in good taste?
Oh, no, he might make it.
I think he'll do all right.
I think he will.
Do you think?
He loves the MCG.
Patty from Reservoir.
Hello, Patty.
Wrote that Dan Christian.
Yes.
There was a newspaper headline that said Onward Christian. And we need him to hurt his shoulder so that the song can be Onward Christian's Shoulder.
Okay.
Little joke there.
That may happen. That joke could go in one of those Christmas
cards.
He's got Christian and Lions.
I look forward to when they bat together or bowl together.
I'm just working out the key as we...
Oh, I want more Kim Jong-il.
Hilfen House's got his groove back. Hilfen House is hot for sure. He is adding peace and menace. He is swinging. Where's the music coming from?
There are the Hare Krishnas or...
it's Indian supporters.
Indian supporters.
It's the Swami Army. The Swami Army are making their way past our broadcast.
Carrying a giant replica of the World Cup.
That is fantastic.
We could have been trained to keep broadcasting through anything, but I can tell you, it is hard to sing a ditty
with an Indian drum going like that.
The Swami Army are just approaching from us from members' side.
The Swami Army currently numbers 14.
I love their replica World Cup.
That might be the highlight.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could get them to sing along on I Made 100 in the backyard.
And the drum's good.
Oh, we go. The drum's stopped now.
Yeah, good. Out of respect to you, Greg.
I think
they're in fine voice.
They go well as well.
While you do a song, I'm going to put the gear on and head over to the nets and see what's happening over there. Okay?
Yeah, good work, boss.
You'll need that little headpiece to do that.
Now, if they'd been the Barmy Army, we would hit them with, "You all live in a boring, rotten place. A boring, rotten place.
That's all you can really say when they beat us so comprehensively.
That's right.
Now, Hilfen House's got his groove back. Hilfen House is hot for sure. He is adding peace and menace. He is swinging it lots more. In the Big Bash he was on the spot. He got his rhythm right. Now he's in the first 11. He's gonna set the team alight. Hilfen House is looking stronger. Hilfen House has come to play. Got no injuries to worry about. He's fit for Boxing Day. He is pumped and primed and jumping, Benny's up and he's about. So he'd better take some wickets, he had better get them out. Yes, he better take some wickets, he had better get them out. Hey!
You're with the Could Have Been Champions. We're live at the MCG. The test will get underway very, very shortly. The crowd, Billy, really building up here now.
It's great to see people rolling into the game, and the weather is clearing as we continue the broadcast.
I think we will get a start. I don't think there's going to be any more rain. The light seems fine, and the Swami Army have cut a swathe.
Oh, well. If I move to this mark, let's just get right down to business and not muck around and have a little bit of I Made 100 in the backyard.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be good, Greg?
All right.
You've done it without us having to ask you.
Well, we need to pay tribute to Macca.
Yeah.
For putting this song on the map.
That'll give Ian the opportunity to get down there to the practice wicket.
Ian's just he's there already, so we'll cross to him after we've...
Or shall we hold the song?
No, let's have the song now to get us in the mood.
I went out to have a bat just the other day. I had no idea what was coming my way. I played a chanceless innings and I earned every run. And I made 100 in the backyard at Mum's. Oh, I made 100 in the backyard at Mum's. I clobbered and I crunched every fabulous run. I toiled and I sweated, and when the day was done, I'd made 100 in the backyard at Mum. I started out real shaky, like just poking around. Me sister with her off brakes, well, she had me pinned down. But when me little brother bowled, I gave him the clout. And when we stopped for lunch, I was 24 not out. Well, then me Uncle Nev came on bowling his quicks. But I was scoring freely with deflections and flicks. As I passed me 50, I paused for ginger beer. And when I hit the roof next door, they all began to cheer.
Hooray!
'Cause I made 100 in the backyard at Mum's. I collared and I crunched every fabulous run. I toiled and I sweated, and when the day was done, I'd made 100 in the backyard at Mum's. Hey, he made 100 in the backyard at Mum's.
Greg Champion.
Good. Thanks, folks.
And he did actually make 100 in the backyard at Mum's once. All everything in that song actually really happened. Ian Cover is over at the practice wickets just watching people having a bit of a net. What's happening over there, Ian?
I'll have one with sauerkraut. No, no, hold the red cabbage.
Now you're on code.
With the letters. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just over at the sausage stand. Actually, there's nothing happening in the nets. There's just two wickets there that look playable.
Mm.
And at one end, three stumps stand like silent sentinels. over a scene where nothing's happening. So, no, it looks like there's no practice in the
nets. You come back over here because we've got someone who you might like to say hello to this Boxing Day. You can join us here and have a chat with him. Because here on the Could Have Been Champions, we welcome former Victorian cricketer, former Australian Test player, and most recently Test selector Mervyn Hughes. Merv, welcome to the show. Happy Boxing Day.
Gentlemen, yes, ho, ho, ho. Happy Boxing Day. You just knew with all the beautiful weather leading up to Boxing Day that it was going to rain today, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, we might be in luck, Merv.
Merv, you've got a pretty strong connection with Indian tours, haven't you? I think your first Test wicket was against India?
My first Test was against India, and a lot of people often ask, can you ever forget your first Test match? And no matter how hard I try, I will never be able to forget my first Test match. One for 123 off 37 overs.
But at least you took a wicket.
A fifth ball duck and two drop catches.
So hang on, you got one for 123. What did Warnie get in his first?
One for 153. So, yeah, I reckon that's good logic because after your first test, no one expects anything from you.
Mm.
Now, Pat Cummings, when he comes back to play, he's taken 6 in his first test.
Yeah.
James Pattinson's under pressure. He's taken a heap of wickets in his first couple of tests. So out there today, everyone's going to high hopes. Expectation very high.
Yeah.
No expectations on myself or Shane Warne.
No.
Who was the batsman, Merv, your very first test wicket?
Dilip Dansarkar.
Right.
Dilip Dansarkar. Yeah.
Can play a bit.
Can play a bit. Just nick one outside the off stump. It was about 2 outside off stump. Yeah.
So, did you ever get Tendulkar out?
Run out once.
So
that was our game plan. When Tendulkar came in to bat, we used to say, right, everyone on their toes, the only chance we've got is a run out.
Right. By the same token, I reckon Tendulkar might have got you out.
Once.
I think it might have been one of his very few test wickets.
I had him, I must admit, I had him dropped early when he got his 170 in Sydney. I had him dropped early, I had him dropped at about 168. I was very, very disappointed. I think it was his only test wicket. No, he's got to have taken more
test
wickets.
Yeah, I think it might have been his first test wicket.
We were hanging on for a draw, trying to hang on for a draw, and he's been bowling his, what he was bowling, leggies or offies. I wasn't watching that carefully. And I just trotted forward, and when I got the edge, I thought, yes, that's two. And Pabarkar in slip took a fairly good catch, fairly handy catch. So it was more the catch than the bowler that got me out.
When Session finally retires, whenever that might be, and he actually goes on the sports night circuit, instead of talking about making 50 test hundreds and making 15,000 runs, I once got Merv Hughes out. It'd be a fantastic story.
It'd be a great story. Yeah.
Merv, your batting career was underrated.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
No.
You had some wonderful moments with the bat.
Yes.
There was three things that had to align when I made runs.
Yeah.
A little bit of luck.
Yeah.
A little bit of luck.
Yeah.
And the third one was a little bit of luck.
What about that sparkling 72 not out?
You got Dean Jones to 200.
That was very unlucky because I batted for about 2.5 hours against the West Indies. Yeah. It had enough of me after about 15 minutes. And while I made 72 runs, I reckon I got hit 185 times.
Mm.
And the really sad thing, Adelaide Oval again, but the really sad thing about that, when I got hit, because the players' room is very close to the pitch, you could hear all my teammates in the room just laughing. And then there'd be 15-second delay, and you'd hear them laughing again. And I'm thinking, what's going on there? And then I realised they were turning up and watching the replay. It's good to be an Australian player.
It's a big tour. It's a big day today and a big test. Merv, tell us what your hopes are and what your expectations are for this test.
Oh, listen, it is a huge tour, and more so for the Australians. They've got a lot to prove, and probably under a little bit of pressure because of what happened against New Zealand, and I really don't think we gave the New Zealanders a lot of credit, and Doug Bracewell bowled particularly well on the last day down there at Hobart, and because it was New Zealand, everyone jumped up and down, but I think the Australians may have been just thinking about what was coming up. So whoever wins the toss today, it's going to be an interesting toss because of the cloud cover and that. They've just got to make a statement on day one. And with the Australian bowling, if we happen to bowl today, Pattinson, Siddle and Hilfenhaus really have to make a statement against this very strong Indian batting lineup.
Now, and of course, you're no longer an Australian selector, but you would have seen quite a few of these blokes playing, emerging, while you were a selector, because you went and watched a lot of cricket.
Yeah, oh, without doubt. Probably the only guy that I haven't seen play for an extended period was Nathan Lyon, because he wasn't around. Pat Cummings wasn't around when I was selected, but to see what Lyon's done, he's come on and done particularly well, and it's not because he's taking wickets, it's the way he's bowling. We've heard him referred to as the old-fashioned off-spinner. He's prepared to throw the ball up, he's prepared to, I suppose, let the batsman hit him for a few runs, but keep throwing it up in the hope of getting a wicket.
Have you seen anyone bowl off-spin like that when you've been captaining your own social team, Murph?
Cove, I know where this is headed, and I've got to be brutally honest here, you bowl nothing like Nathan Lyon. He bowls off-spin, you bowl straight spin. He bowls with a nice high action, and no.
I'm round here.
Yeah.
Are you involved in mentoring anyone in the Australian cricket team at the moment, Merv?
No, just the roles that I have within cricket now, bowling coach at Footscray Edgewater. I've done that for the last 4 years. With the Renegades in the 2020 and with the Victorian State Squad, Damien Fleming and myself are sharing that role since Damien Wright got the New Zealand job.
Okay.
Now, Murph, you said before the Australian bowlers, all of them, are going to, when they do get to bowl, whether it's this morning or later in the game, they're going to have to make a statement. Coming in to bowl against some of these names on the Indian batting roster, it must be incredibly daunting. It take us back to when you were doing it, and you're coming in to toss the ball up at some blokes who are living legends.
I really made a statement in my first test against India, didn't I?
And you also never bowled to them in India.
No, thank God for that.
Never toured there.
Yeah, no, listen, I made a statement. My first seven overs against India were none for 53. So I thought I pulled it back pretty well after that. Yeah. But, it's... With Siddle, with Pattinson, with Hilfenhaus, they've just got to be brave enough to attack the stumps because the Indians do play a lot of shots, and Sehwag especially. Yeah. If the ball's up and around off stump, you'll play shots. But that, if you're bowling in the right areas, that also gives you a chance to get a wicket. Now, we've seen what Sehwag can do, but if you're brave enough to bowl around off stump and full of length, you may pick up the edge, but then again, you may go for 15.
Is bravery the key word? Because I know it's going to be going through my mind probably before the end of today. I sit, and a lot of other people will be sitting in there watching and say, could you please bowl at the stumps? The point of the game is to get the ball to knock the stumps over. Yeah. Why don't you bowl trying to hit them?
That's probably been my criticism of Ben Hilfenhaus for the last couple of years. When he's bowled just outside off stump, and when he swings it away, he ends up sort of foot and a half, 2 foot outside off stump, but he's got to bowl at middle and off and get the batsman playing, because he does swing the ball, he bowls a heavy ball, he's very strong, and he'll run in all day, but he's just got to bowl that little bit straighter.
And importantly, Merv, for our listeners around the country, what is the best lure to catch a snapper?
The best lure for the snapper? Listen, I'd go for a new lure out, the ballista lure. Now, it's got a flashing light, and that's in the shape of a fish, which is always a good lure. Because you want to fool the fish.
Yeah.
But it's also got the flashing light at the back of it. So in deep water, when the tide's running a little bit, probably go for maybe a jig, just a heavier jig.
I thought so. Yeah.
Well, you've got more time for fishing now that you're not having to go selecting.
I wish I did have. That's what I thought when I got sacked as a selector, Cove. When I got sacked. No sugarcoating this. I got sacked. And I was thinking, how good's this? I'll be able to go fishing now, and you just fill your time with other things. So, it's very disappointing.
And obviously coaching up your son, Tim, who's sitting there with you.
The toe cutter.
Well, he actually used to pick the side for you, didn't he? He was the real selector. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
It's sad when you're a selector and you've got to run the team past a 12-year-old boy to get the OK. Like, if he founded a name, you knew that the next day the paper were always going to be over that name. So I used to prepare myself.
Well, both you and Tim could just enjoy the test match today without having to feel that it's any of your responsibility. But wonderful talking to you as ever this morning. Have a great test.
Guys, to you and all the listeners and all the guys just here, have a happy and safe New Year. Thanks
good
for having
you,
us
Merv.
All, guys.
Thanks,
cheers.
Yes.
You have been listening to the Clubman Champions here at the MCG on Boxing Day. It's time for us to go. We'll be handing over to the grandstand team from inside. Thanks to Richard and Chris here behind the scenes and Andy and Matt also for production. Good morning to Greg Champion.
Yes, enjoy your cricket. See you,
Billy
folks.
Baxter.
Well bowled.
Ian Cover.
Go the Aussies.
Thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned. Go ahead.